welcome to This Versus That, Making Wedding Decisions with Kelly McWilliams. This podcast is for you if you're making a wedding decision and want to know what to consider before saying I do to all the things that will make your wedding experience a great one. I'm your host, Kelly McWilliams, and I'm so glad to be a part of your wedding planning journey. In each episode, you can count on me and my expert wedding co-hosts to give you everything it takes to make the best decisions for the wedding that you're dreaming of. Gretchen Culver is a creative mind behind Minneapolis's go-to design and planning firm, Rocket Science Events. But her business prowess doesn't stop there. In 2020, she opened the doors to Mini Weddings. It's a brand that provides stylish and affordable micro-weddings as a way to meet her clients' evolving demands for small but significant celebrations. Named one of the 30 under 40 to watch by Special Events and recognized as a top planner by Brides and Martha Stewart Weddings, Gretchen's award-winning work has been featured in magazines, online, and in television. And for all those reasons and many more, get it, many, are the reasons that I asked her to be on the podcast today with me. Because I thought it would be great if you're trying to decide between having a very traditional wedding or going the route of a pop-up wedding or mini wedding. There's nobody better to talk about this with than Gretchen because she has really figured out how to accomplish this well. So let's get into this episode with Gretchen. Gretchen, I'm so glad you're here. You know why?
Why?
Because you knew more than anybody about these things. You're the queen of micro mini weddings.
Yes.
So I have lots of input on the benefits and bonuses of the other kinds of weddings more traditionally, but there's not a better person on earth as far as I'm concerned to talk about this. So here's where I think we should start, to be honest with you. I think we should start with you explaining these different kinds of weddings so that everyone really has a true knowledge and understanding of what we're going to be talking about, like the benefits and pros and cons of all of them. Is that cool?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, go for it.
And I would say, while I would love there to be a standard definition, the definitions I'm going to give you are what I think broadly we can see across the country, but people use various terms. So I'll kind of throw in some of those as well. So
okay.
I think that there are a few different types of small weddings. Under the small wedding umbrella, we have a few different areas. So the first one is going to be a mini wedding, M-I-N-I. And that's going to be, 50 or fewer guests. It's going to have a lot of the trappings of a traditional wedding. Okay. A social hour, ceremony, reception, probably some entertainment there. It's kind of like a more traditional wedding, but on a smaller scale.
Okay. So you're not leaving anything out, basically.
You're not leaving anything out. You're probably still doing your cake cutting. You're doing toasts. You're doing some dancing. If you're not having a big dance party, you're going to have some sort of entertainment. And, those options are endless these days with, mm-hmm. just live music acts or having interactive performers or something like that. So you're looking at a, 5, 6, 7, 8 hour experience. You're still probably having a wedding party. You're doing, photos prior to the ceremony, the whole kit and caboodle.
Okay. It's just a smaller guest list.
A smaller guest list. Yeah. That's kind of that mini wedding definition.
Okay.
For a micro.
Before we move forward, yeah. I do want to say that, guys, hearing that, you might be like, oh, but didn't we already hear about that? There is an episode that was about guest counts. If you haven't listened to that one, after you listen to this one, you can go back to that and hear more about that part of it. Because in that episode is more about guest counts. Okay. Shooting forward.
All right. So next type of wedding under the small wedding umbrella would be the micro wedding. And so this is the wedding style that's really exploded the past year and a half, 2 years, basically because the pandemic mm-hmm. Kind of put fuel on that fire. So yeah. A micro wedding is a distilled version of a traditional wedding. So it's not going to have a long time frame. It's going to be 2 to 3 hours tops. Okay.
Ah,
so
okay.
all of the elements that you need for a wedding and then nothing else. So for example, you're going to have your ceremony. You're going to have a short reception that's not going to have food. It may have a couple of appetizers, or you're probably going to have some sort of like cake or something significant, cake and champagne. And then you're going to take some few photos and then you're going to move on. So the micro weddings that my company does are 90 minutes. So they're really short.
Wow. Okay.
And you're looking at, you know, maxing out your guest count around 30, between kind of 30 and 40 for a micro wedding. Okay. And these are sometimes called pop-up weddings or tiny weddings. And there are companies around the country that will do multiple micro weddings on one day. This is what my company does, but there's places in Seattle and Birmingham, all across the country. So 4 to 5 couples are getting married on one day, not at the same time. They have their own 90-minute slot. And so that's really a new model that allows couples to really get a lot of bang for their buck, where they can get really high design, stylish, crazy cool weddings, but you know, it's a short time frame. There's not a ton of stuff included. So they're kind of in and out and getting married. So you can have a micro wedding without going with a company that does multiple on a day. You could design your own micro wedding, but a lot of companies that have these like all-inclusive packages are becoming really popular and more available across the country.
Okay.
So then there's our tiniest of small weddings called an elopement. And elopements are going to be 10 people or less. And I actually feel like a true elopement is 2 people. It's 2 people going to the courthouse.
That's what I always considered it.
And there's no photographer. There's nothing. It's just those 2 people you're going to get married. So I kind of want to say it's like elopement plus, you know?
Okay.
Or the not, I coined a term called mini-money. So you are still eloping, but you might have a few friends come with or family members. You're probably going to do some photography, you know, having the photographer capture your ceremony and then maybe some family photos. But there's no dinner. There's nothing around the elopement besides just that ceremonial marriage component of it.
Okay.
I've been hearing a lot about adventure elopements, which are very cool. Like a lot of photographers are offering that, where you can go and elope to, you know, underwater or on top of a mountain, or, you know, a really cool destination that's maybe more exciting than a courthouse. But elopements are really, it used to be kind of like you eloped in secret, you know, and that you went to the courthouse or you went to Vegas and then you got married and you're like, oh, we eloped. But now there are definitely people who are making elopements more of a thing, but they're still the smallest version of a small wedding.
Okay. So elopement is, if I'm going to just kind of repeat what you said, elopement would be 2 people really getting married, planned in advance, now more so than back in the day where it was like, okay, we're spontaneously running off to get this done. Made with or without photographer, like any kind of documentation. So it's someone who's marrying them. Ooh, do they always have an officiant?
Well, they'd have to. They'd have to have somebody who can legally marry them.
Yeah. Otherwise, it could be where you just go to the courthouse, sign the papers so you're legally married, and then you just exchange vows on your own.
Right.
I think you could do it that way as well.
And there are some judges that will do like a mini kind of ceremony where it's not just like signing the license and then being done with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then depending on what state you're into, like you have to have witnesses. And like if you go to the courthouse, they can provide witnesses for you, depending on where you are. I think actually in Wisconsin, well, the listeners are going to let you know if this is true or not. They're going to fact check it. But I think in Wisconsin, you can marry yourself, like you can be your own officiant. But yes, it's very small, very tiny. Maybe you've like got a bouquet of flowers from Trader Joe's, but probably not.
Okay, so elopement is truly 2 people, maybe a few witnesses. It is truly ceremony only. Like we're getting the job done, but it could be, you know, maybe you have some flowers, just like you said. You know, it's special. And so maybe you might have a photographer there, but that's pretty much as far as it goes. Okay. So that was elopement. Just going to go back one more time, make sure I've got it. And then the one a little bit larger than that was the micro
wedding. Yeah.
Micro. Mm-hmm. And micro was a shortened version, few more people, 90 minutes ish, mm-hmm. like short length of time, micro yes. in time. Micro
yes.
in time.
And guest count. Yes.
And guest count.
I also think micro weddings don't work if you had 150 people, right? Because to move from a ceremony to a glass of champagne and cake and to photos with 150 people and 90 minutes doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
But we're not including first dances. We're not doing speeches. You know, we're just right. the marriage, a celebration, some photos, then we're on with the day.
Okay. And this I've done, well, we attempted to do, we got rained out, unfortunately. We was to do that here. We called it a pop-up wedding.
Yes.
Exactly what you've mm-hmm. described. And we had set it up so there would be several time slots throughout the day. Mm-hmm. What I saw the bonus to that being was that we could do something really extravagant with the floral and like the musicians, like all of the things, and really just have that one cost there. And then kind of spread it out between all the couples that were doing it at different times. But yes. we had the same photographer the whole time. The florists did make different bouquets for each mm-hmm. client because that, you know, they can take that with them. Mm-hmm. But everything else was kind of like set in place. And there were, okay, I'm getting into like the pros and cons. We're going to wait on that. See, I skip ahead. I have such a hard time. I get excited about things, Gretchen. It's so hard. You see why I have such a hard time with this podcast where I think it's going to be a 20-minute episode and 2 hours later we're sitting here? It happens every time. Okay, and so that was micro. And then the mini was, what was the mini again?
Mini is basically a traditional wedding with a smaller guest count.
Okay, mini is just same wedding. And that mm-hmm. that's all of them, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So let's talk about the pros and cons of minis first, and then we'll work our way back down.
Cool? Okay, great. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to let you start, and then I'm going to give my 2 cents on, because I think I've kind of had all of these things in my 20 years, so I should be able to give a little bit to this, but you're the queen. So, all right.
The mini wedding is probably my, I think it's the most like nebulous and confusing kind of wedding, because mm-hmm. And I think this is what a lot of people tried to do in COVID, is they tried to force their traditional wedding plans and shift it to fit COVID regulations. Yeah. So you got people who still wanted a big dance party, but now they were limited to 50 people. Well, so now they're trying to do a rager with 50 people. And you know that does not work, right?
No,
you know,
it's hard. Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about a mini wedding, you really should be thinking about creating a really great experience for your guests that you couldn't create if you had 100 plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you are somebody who wants to have a 10-course tasting menu offered as your dinner for your guests, which to me sounds like the best wedding I could ever attend, and have this, you know, with wine pairings and, you know, that sort of thing. That doesn't work great when you're talking about 100, 200 people, right? But it would be
you can totally great. Do. Yes.
Yes. And
yes.
with the mini wedding, you probably aren't needing to make sacrifices on your spending, right? Because you aren't inviting and having to feed 250 people. So now you can afford your first choice photographer, or to have a really elegant, beautiful tabletop, right? So mm-hmm. you're able to kind of have all of the things with your budget versus having to pick and choose your priorities. Now, that said, some people think, well, I'll just cut my guest list and then I will save money, which, yes, is true for things like food and beverage, which is a variable cost. But when you're talking about a photographer, the photographer is working the same amount of hours as they would if yes. you had 400 people. So
you have your fixed cost and your fluctuating costs.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that is something where sometimes people think, oh, I'm just going to do a mini wedding to save money, when really you have to think about it as creating a different experience. It's not necessarily going to be a cost savings because of those fixed expenses, mm-hmm. but you could create a different type of experience, and you may be able to not have to sacrifice on the things that you want because you have the smaller guest count.
Yes.
I also feel like you can go to cooler places. You know, you can have it at a restaurant or a museum or some of these places that couldn't normally have a traditional larger wedding, but can close down for something smaller. So you can maybe be at a venue you wouldn't normally get to be at.
See, and that's what I love about, there's so much opportunity in there because of it's so much more flexible. And again, I love that word opportunity for this because you really can push the envelope. You really can think outside the box of where, you know, things are traditionally. Like there's some, maybe if you're having a wedding at your town where, you know, everyone has their weddings at, there's four places to choose from.
Yeah.
When all, right, you know, because it's, yes, that's almost all of America, unless you're in a huge metropolitan city, you know, even here where I'm at, we're limited to like wedding venues. I've got air quotes going on here, guys. But the second that that number guest count comes down to like 35, 45, holy cannoli, let me tell you where we can have your wedding. Mm-hmm. And not only that, there's the options to, for things like, if I go to some of these big places, when I say, can we order at the table? Like, can we pick our entrees at the table? Like, every guest can order then. They're going to laugh right out of their seats, you know?
Yes, they are.
Right?
They're going to give you the biggest eye roll.
Exactly. But if it's only like 20, 25 people, yeah, Kel, we can totally handle that. What an incredible experience for your guests to be able to come in and sit down and order. And I know there are some places in big metropolitan cities where you can do this. So like, don't, you know, I'm not saying it can't happen. It's just they're few and far between, especially the ones that do it really well. And what, to your point, Gretchen, also things like the restaurants that would typically say no to a wedding, they might be more open to the possibility if it is smaller that, you know, they can have a space available to you. Such a good point.
Mm-hmm. You can do it on your building's rooftop. You know, there's so many, you know, great like condo buildings that have like amazing rooftop and party rooms, right? Or you can do it in an open field and get a small tent. I mean, there's you can do it in a parking lot. You can do a small wedding basically anywhere. And then this, if there's a spot that's meaningful for you as a couple, like that's a bonus too, right? You know, that maybe it's your first date at this restaurant or you got engaged in this park or something where you can really tie it into that personal connection to you as a couple. You can also do mini weddings at private homes. You know, a lot of backyards can't hold 200 people and the infrastructure it needs to have a tented wedding. But if you've got 30, 40, great. You can definitely do that. And, you know, you don't need additional electricity or, you know, all those things that you know so well, too, that take to make a tented wedding on a smaller scale. It's way more manageable.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's so many things to think about, guys, that also that you won't have to have the stress over or contribute to financially when you have smaller guest counts. Like, maybe you don't have to think about transporting all your guests. Mm-hmm. You know, like if it's just 25, you know, maybe it's just two mini shuttles instead of the 150 where we really have to get the whole bus to bring everyone from here to there. Like it's just, or we can get four Ubers and move everybody, that kind of situation. So, there's really a lot to unpack there for things that, you don't even have to stress about, like that you can take out of the planning simply because there's less people there. You know, transportation is one of the biggest things I think of right away, besides flexibility of the venue opportunities. So, okay. Any negatives that you can really think of? I can think of a couple.
What are your negatives? You go first.
Well, there's some things that are harder to do on a smaller scale that the cost can still be high because of it. Like, for instance, wedding cakes. Mm. So even though if you love the thought of a beautiful wedding cake, and that's what you've been looking at your whole life, and you're like, I really love these beautiful wedding cakes. Even though it's only 25 people, there's still a lot of work and design that goes into it. So wedding cake artists, they still have a minimum that they need to hit to like to make their weekend. Like they've got to pay their bills still. So even though there's all these mini wedding cakes, it's still going to be a bottom line. Like, this is my starting rate. So even if you are only getting cake that feeds 25, I still need it to be at my minimum cost. So you might still be paying a minimum of $700 for a wedding cake, even though it only feeds 25 people. So those are some of the things that you have to think about. Am I right?
Agree? Yeah.
So, across the board, there's a few places where that's going to hit. Just like when you said with the photographer, their job is the same. It is not changing. Videographer, it's not changing. So,
yeah. I think those fixed costs can be really challenging. I'm also working on a mini wedding right now for a couple, and we're looking at a beautiful venue, and the food and beverage minimum makes sense for 100 people, but it doesn't make sense for 20 people. How do we spend $3,000 a person? That is the drawback, especially if you're looking at a more well-known or established venue, because they can't bring their room rental rates down or their food and beverage minimums down to meet your smaller guest count. So that is, if you're dreaming of like one of those venues that is a more traditional wedding venue, they might not be able to flex to your smaller count. And
yeah,
that's something to consider. Those fixed costs can definitely be sometimes discouraging, especially if, like I said, you're thinking about it as a small wedding as a money saver versus a different experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. What's another negative that you've got?
I don't know.
I would say dance party. It's not a rager. A 50 person.
Yeah.
There's no after party. There's no like glow sticks. There's like, you can't have a 14 person band in a 50 person wedding. It just feels crazy.
Oh, that I agree with. Yeah. You have to like pull in the reins on some things and be cool with, okay, it doesn't make sense. That's, oh my gosh, I'm like, keep pointing at you, but you're so right. A band with the horn section and there's 17 people there.
Yeah. Yep.
Kind of awkward when the band is bigger than the dance floor. Like that much bigger.
Yes.
So yeah, fully agree with you there. Fully agree with you there. But I will say, because I've done a lot of intimate weddings, and I've always
I like that intimate. Yeah. Yeah, I think this would be falling as an intimate wedding. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I do a lot of those. So, and I always have. It's not been a thing since the pandemic. It's just that I have a lot of people that come to me that their guest counts are naturally just at 24, 36. And I've seen dance parties. But again, it's more often than not that when we do that, it's with a DJ.
Yep.
Or like a duo or trio.
Uh-huh.
But they still jam pack that dance floor and we'll have a party on that dance floor. It's just like on a much smaller scale. But to your point, big band, it just doesn't make sense. It's going to be all kinds of awkward. So.
Yep. And I would say the other negative to me, going back to this, and I keep belaboring this budget point, but is that it's not a cost saver. Like, it's just a different way to spend your money. So, you know, it's still a $50,000 wedding, but at 50 people, that's $1,000 per person. Where if you're inviting 100 people, that's 500. I mean, so the scale is different there. So I really, I discourage people from just shrinking the guest list or trying to do a mini wedding if they're trying to save money. I really think I want to have them think about what their priorities are in a different way, because they're going to be disappointed if, their photographer is still $6,000 or, you know.
Yeah. So, well, and that's why you have to, like, it's almost like you want to say you need to have two budgets and have a spending plan for each. You've got your fixed cost budget and your fluctuating budget. And the fixed cost, that is what it is. That's your wedding planner. That's your photographer, the music, the videographer, those things are not changing no matter how many people are there, versus food and beverage. The lighting would still be over on the other side in the fixed cost. Food and beverage.
Transportation.
Decor. All of that fluctuates based on your guest count. So sometimes it's, I hate to make you break out spreadsheets, guys, but sometimes you have to break out spreadsheets.
Yeah, sometimes you have to break out the spreadsheets. And just even thinking about like, okay, so if this is my whole bucket of money that I'm going to spend, my per person cost is probably higher with a mini wedding than it is with a larger traditional wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. yeah, that's, I like to think about like finances. What's really easy for me in the planning process is just kind of think about like a per person price, because then it's, then you don't have to like do as much of the math right away. You don't have to bust out the spreadsheets.
Fully agree with you on that. Fully agree.
So I definitely think
per person pricing is great.
Yep. I definitely think that like a mini wedding is probably going to have, most likely going to have a higher per person price than a traditional larger wedding, but the experience is different.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Moving on from winning. They're all winning.
They're all winning.
We're moving away from mini weddings, we go then to
micro. Yep.
Okay. Pros and cons. I'm going to let you lead with this one.
So I love micro weddings. Obviously, having a micro wedding company, it's definitely a passion of mine. I was shocked when I launched this company. I did it in the pandemic. It was my pandemic pivot, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got one of those. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to be able to serve these couples who had their plans like canceled or postponed because of COVID. Like they can still get married, because there was definitely a demand for people who didn't want to wait. They wanted to get married now. And mm-hmm. no. So this was a way, creating this micro wedding company was a way to serve those clients. I was blown away from the jump with the amount of people who were like, thank you for creating this concept. I never wanted a big wedding. I never wanted to invite my Uncle Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted a small wedding, and there was nothing available to me. I definitely think for our first couple of dates, we had a lot of pandemic reschedules. But now, I mean, the company is selling out dates all the time. And it's for people who just want a small wedding. It's an entirely different client. It's an entirely different couple than the couple who wants a traditional large wedding. I did not expect that. I did not see that coming. I did not realize there was a whole like market of couples in the small wedding market that were being underserved, you know?
Which is so funny to me. And it's I get it, but I didn't realize that they weren't happening all over the place on a regular basis, because I'm in a destination wedding zone. Like that's mm-hmm. the majority of what I do. So the people who are coming to me and to many destination wedding planners is that's what they want. They're trying to get away from the large guest list, and that's their way out, is to do it destination. So that's why when people started doing all of these mini weddings all over the place, I'm like, why does everyone think this is new? Because I've been doing this for 20 years. Like I don't get it. I get it now that it just wasn't commonplace everywhere else.
People don't do destination weddings to Minnesota.
No. There's some great spots there, I'm sure.
But it does definitely, the micro wedding does take from that destination wedding model.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I think it even makes it, I think destination weddings a lot are more of like the mini wedding, you know, where you're creating that fuller experience, but just, you know, for a smaller guest list. Where the micro wedding is even serving people who don't want the destination. They just want
enough
of a celebration so it seems legit, you know, where it feels like you've given it the proper gravitas a wedding and a marriage deserves, but they're not wanting to blow the bank. They don't want to prioritize their finances of spending a lot of money on a wedding, you know, and they don't want to. Some of our couples actually do make a day of it. You know, their micro wedding is first, and then they do something else afterwards. And and that's great. But they're not traditional couples. They're couples who want something that is lovely and nice and stylish and a great price point. And then they're going to move on with their lives. You know,
they're going to go build their house. They're going to move to a different city.
Start a
new job. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now that you can travel again, close. But many of the couples were like, we love this because now we can, you know, take a trip around the world or whatever. So it's a totally different type of wedding experience. And And it's really, really, really great for a lot of people, you know, and it's really great because it's accessible to almost everybody, you know, but budget-wise. Our micro wedding packages, and this is an all-inclusive package, so it's, you know, venue, floral, decor, photographer, videographer, officiant, print, digital invitation, you know, they're around $6,000.
That is amazing.
For 32 people. So, you know, cake, champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's amazing.
So it's a really great value. And like you were saying earlier, because I'm able to have four or five couples get married on one day, those fixed costs are now shared among yes. all the couples. So like, you know, they're getting a photographer for their day that their package costs more than their photo package alone for a traditional
this
wedding costs
is what
more
I'm saying.
Than their
this
actual is... entire wedding.
Yes.
You know?
And they can, I mean, here's their opportunity to actually get a phenomenal photographer they never could have gotten any other
way.
Because they just did it in a smaller scale of time.
Yep.
Like it's really brilliant. It's mm-hmm. it's brilliant. And oh my gosh, to be able to take advantage of the best planner. Like they might not have been able to have you, Gretchen, like, you know, with rocket science.
Right.
And have the best photographer and best floral and at a really elevated level. Like I've mm-hmm. seen the weddings you're doing. They're phenomenal, you know. Thank you. So to be able to get that, to have all of that, that incredible experience, all you're doing is taking it the shorter amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
That's and so great.
It's really easy. That's the thing that I think people are, that's what I see the most in our reviews. Like when people are leaving our review and or giving us a testimonial mm-hmm. is that they love the ease of it. Like people are stressed with life in general. They don't want to think about all of the things. They just want to show up and know that they're going to have a banging wedding and be done with it.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because I think that was kind of one of the pieces that we left out when we were explaining what these are, especially what you, again, we're talking about micro weddings, which I have always known as pop-up weddings. But on these where it's several slots throughout the day, explain to everyone what decisions they have to make.
Okay. Yeah.
And what they cannot make. Like there's not an option here for you. This was the most questions that I got when we were like, well, can I change a color? Can we do this instead? And the answer is no, you know, but
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that is a con right there. Let's just throw that one out there. If you want a highly customized wedding, a micro wedding is not for you. If you want a hand in picking out the floral or the linens, or you have a very specific vision for what your wedding looks like or a location, you know, that's this micro wedding is not for you. This is an all-inclusive package where everything is done for you. So, you know, this is going to be, you know, I have designed it. I have secured all of the vendors, you know. So when you're booking online, and yes, you just book online, you book on the website, you just click like reserve and you sign your contract and pay your deposit, you're going to get a form and it's going to ask you a few things. It's going to help us understand what you're looking for as far as your ceremony goes, because that is customizable. You're going to pick your cake flavor. You're going to decide if you want alcohol or non-alcoholic, like sparkling wine. Mm-hmm. You get to pick your processional and your recessional. And then we do have a lot of people who will add on like hors d'oeuvres, or they'll add on like different video edits or something like that. So those are upgrades that you can pay more for. Okay. But the decisions are really limited. And I have never once received any pushback about that. I think it is welcomed. I don't think people want to make thousands of decisions.
I believe you with that 100%. I can see imagine someone going and realizing, wait, I clicked a button and I'm done. I get to show up. And that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, when you do them, do you include hair and makeup or no?
No. So
will you send them a resource for it?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And so we always send with each date that we release, we send resources for attire for the men and the women. We send hair and makeup resources and also local restaurants. So we do find that people often, if they're having like an afternoon wedding, they'll want to celebrate a little bit longer and do some sort of meal afterwards. And we actually offer for our last slot of the day, the ability to extend the reception. So it basically turns their micro wedding into a mini wedding, to really be technical about it. But so
let me interrupt you for a second, Gretchen, because that's exactly what we did. Was like, this one costs more than the rest,
yep,
because it gives you this option.
Yes.
So that was like the premier slot.
Yes.
Was that one.
Yes.
Okay. And so I feel better even just for myself.
Oh, good. And that's one of the ones that
that's
one of the ones that reserves first, typically.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And I just really am so, like, I think younger couples mm-hmm. are more internet. Like, they were born on the internet, right? Like, they're internet savvy, like, they're used to doing everything online. So like planning their wedding online seems very natural.
Yes.
And their parents are people who may not have as much tie to tradition. So they're cool with a new type of concept. You know, that we do sometimes get calls from like the mother of the bride just being like, tell me what you're doing, you know, can you explain it to me? You know,
I can imagine those calls.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
like, is this really a wedding?
Right. Exactly. And so, or just like, what? You know, sometimes it's like the cost, like they don't understand why it's so little. And so, but I think that is, and the pandemic too has really given permission for all of these couples to get married in a new way. You know, and like, it's the stigma has been taken away from this kind of micro wedding. And it's just like, mm-hmm. yeah, this is now just another option for couples. It's also really great for same sex couples because they're not tied to any traditions anyway. You know what I mean? Like that community mm-hmm. doesn't like come from the crazy things that a traditional wedding has come from with the rings and the veil and the cake cutting and all that. So it's got a lot of great flexibility and accessibility for all the different couples. I obviously love them. You know, you asked about cons. I said the one, if you want a custom wedding, it's probably not a great way to go. You know, if you want dancing, there is no dancing. Like you don't get to, you know,
you don't get that.
There's you don't get dancing. That. There's not, yeah, there's not time for it.
But
I also feel like doing a micro wedding on your own, like let's say you aren't hiring a company that's made this all-inclusive, super easy package. I don't know if that's as much of a time saver, or I don't know if it's as easy. You know what I mean? Then I feel like you're kind of doing, yes, you may only be doing 90 minutes, but it's still probably going to be quite a bit of work, you know? So,
and your costs are going to be significantly higher. I don't know how they could not be.
Right. Unless you were, you know, you could find a photographer that, you know, is only covering that 90 minutes, like they would an engagement session, right? Or something mm-hmm. like that. You could get creative. Yeah. We have had a couple of couples who have come back to us who they really wanted a date and it sold out. And so they've kind of created their own version.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, yeah, we're doing it ourselves. But part of what I love about these micro weddings is just the convenience, right? Like you're done, you're moving on, you're getting married, you look great, you know, hair and makeup, you've got to maybe manage that. But other than that, you got to get some rings, but that's it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a wonderful thing. I think in this day and age, it's just such a fabulous, like almost philosophy. I mean, it's just,
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm
all in.
I would have done it. Like me and my husband would have done it. It would have been mm-hmm. so great for us because we didn't want to invite the almost 400 people that were on the guest list. You know, this is a great way to like,
holy cow.
Yeah. This didn't exist. And I know so many people like my peers who are like, this concept is what we would have done had we had this option. And now we're seeing people who want to do vow renewals, which is also really great. You know,
I love vow renewals. Okay. Different episode.
Episode. Put that on the topic for, to put that on the topic board. Cause the vow renewal. Okay. I love the vow renewal.
Okay. Are we going to do it together though? Are you signing up for that one?
Pencil me in for my return appearance.
Let's do it. Gretchen is now scheduled for season 4, episode 9.
Great.
Vow renewal or let's call this off. No, I'm kidding. We're kidding, guys. We're kidding. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay. So let's move on because I think we've kind of like dug in deep on that one. And that leaves us with what are we
elopement.
Missing? Elopements. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pros and cons to these.
I love an elopement. I kind of eloped myself, actually. We got married before we had our big wedding, and that's because the micro wedding thing didn't exist. Yes. So we got like the small and the big. I think if you are looking for a very budget-friendly way to get married, this is your route. Or I personally really like I was saying, like the adventure elopements where you're doing something really cool and so different. Cool. Yeah. And those are some things that you could only do with two people or a really small group, you know? So I really think, and I, you know, what I love during the pandemic is they were doing like those like stoop elopements, like on the front stoop where like they decorated with their stoop and like did the ceremony. Yeah. And that was really cute. I love an elopement if it's like parlayed into like a surprise wedding where it's like maybe you've invited your friends to your house and they think that they're just coming for like a get together and then you get married. So I love that kind of surprise and delight element, especially if you're inviting people. You know, elopements, they don't really offer much of the party piece. They offer none of the party piece. So like none if you're really looking to do some sort of celebrating, it's probably not the route for you. But if you want to do something that's, you know, not just signing the piece of paper and then calling it a day, you know, think about an adventure elopement or making a weekend out of it. You know, if you've got like, go get an Airbnb somewhere, you know, make it a destination for you too, you know, that could really be fun. And that seems like the young kids are drawn to that too, right? Like going to some sort of epic destination. And
the adventure elopements. I actually had someone who actually works within the wedding industry. But truly, I think that one half, and I don't know this for sure, but I think that maybe one half of the couple wanted something super small and the other half wanted the big bang. So they did both. They did the elopement first and they did the adventure. And like they had one planner who did that with them. And then I handled the party wedding, you know, here. And so they kind of got the best of both worlds there, but they eloped first. And I will tell you about this. There's a lot of work that they put into planning that adventure elopement, clearly, because, I mean, they went to Canada. Like, they went to Banff, the blue water and you know, the lake and, you know, all of those things. And I'm picturing this in my head, the actual images. They married themselves. So I think what might have been is that they were maybe just exchanging vows and rings there, but they did have a photographer to capture that moment. And then they came here. So I think a pro to elopement and why so many people do it, and another reason why, is that they're just private people. Like, yes. I mean, if ever there was something where you really wanted it to be just about the two of you, that's really what this is. Like, that's truly what this is. And you can share it. I mean, if you get a document, I mean, and that's why I would say I would want to encourage people to have a photographer or a videographer document that for you so that you can still have all the privacy that you want. But then if you wanted to be able to share it or you're, you know, people are going to be upset with you because you didn't share it, you know, you would have that opportunity to do that.
Yes. I think elopements are ideal for people who are very private. And I also think they're ideal for couples like you described where there might be a conflict of desires.
Yes.
What do they call that? The marry now, party later. During COVID where you could have the small elopement and then have the big party later.
I have quite a few of those.
Yes, I believe it.
Next year.
Yeah. I believe it. In fact, all of my large traditional weddings that have been postponed now several years, they have all eloped by this time. Like they've done
almost everybody.
Yep. They just, they didn't want to wait to get married. And so they they are doing a fake ceremony. I mean, they're not doing a fake ceremony. They're doing a ceremony, but they're already legally married. So, but I love the idea of the elopement and the big party, because the big party gets so much more fun and relaxed because you're not stressing about the ceremony.
Oh my gosh. Such a pro to that. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And you can have like a different format for that party. You know, you could maybe,
you don't have to follow all those protocols and traditions. Mm-hmm. You can throw half that out the window.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to feel like at a celebration like that, like you have to do parent dances or you have to do your first dance. Right. It could really be like, let's have a cool dinner party and then let's dance the night away. And no one's going to have any expectations when you do it that way.
Yes.
Like your guests, they're like, okay, so we know they're already married. So what is this going to be? And it could be like they come in, they're having, you know, you're having dinner and, hey guys, before we open the dance floor, we've got a surprise for you. And maybe they show the video of their actual ceremony. So, and that could be all of it.
Yeah, I really do think that does give you kind of the best of both worlds, was what you were saying, especially if you're a couple divided.
Yes. Yeah. I like that. A couple divided.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I know Kelsey's, you know, potentially listening to that. And if that wasn't the case with you guys, so I'm sorry, but I know that those couples exist. I think I'm absolutely positive that exists.
Yes. So, and I'm hoping too that the pandemic normalizes that type of wedding, you know, so it's not just one way to wed anymore, that you have all these different, I mean, because I would love to get invited to a dancing dessert party, right? Like, they've already gotten married. It's a sweet bonanza and a band. Awesome. You know, like, that sounds so much fun.
Who gets to have a party for 150 people for like no reason? Like, that never happens.
Right.
So here's your reason. Mm-hmm. Here's your reason to have the party you've always wanted to have. And you don't necessarily need to make it look like a wedding. It could be any aesthetic you want, because it's not really the wedding. You know what I mean? Like, you can push the envelope here.
You can push
do
the envelope.
Anything you want.
You can spend a lot of money on the design and decor, or you can also be more budget friendly. You know, like, if you're doing a cocktail style, like, let's just say a dessert reception, which I'm still pushing and I will do one of them someday. But like, it's, you know, 7:30 at night. It's, you know, it's after dinner time. It's clearly a dessert party, dessert and dancing. You come in, you're overwhelmed with sweets. It's mingling style. You've got, you know, some music. That's way less expensive than having to feed a full meal to 150 people. And then, you know, have the sit down tables for 150 people. There's more expense involved when you're doing that traditional wedding. So it's you can maybe throw like a different style of party, but also get a little bit more for your budget if, you know, if you're thinking about how to maximize your dollars.
There's so much flexibility in there with that. I mean, you could truly, I would say for something like that, I would lean towards a much later start and do like a 9 to 12. So people really get the clue. But let's think about the experience of that, because then your friends can be like, oh, guys, let's, the eight of us get together and go to dinner first. Mm-hmm. And so they have that great start to their evening on their own dime down at their favorite restaurant. And then they get to go to this awesome party afterwards where they meet up with everybody. So it could really, truly be such a great experience.
Yeah, Kelly, that's
a
better
start.
We are
so off track for like elopements and
like, no, but this is like, if you're considering elopements, here are some other things that you could consider along with it. Like, no, I think
That's definitely a pro to this.
It's a pro.
Absolutely a pro to this. The negatives, we have to talk about them. And the first thing that pops into my head is, who's going to be mad at me because I did this if we don't have the party? And there's inevitably someone who could potentially feel hurt. And so you have to think in advance of like how you're going to conquer that and how to, I mean, it's a personal decision. I think most of the time when people are choosing to elope, but it's something that you probably need to put some thought into for the people that are going to care the most about it, that they weren't a part of that.
Yeah. That is so smart. That is spot on advice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gonna have to have that talk, and it's not an email that you can send. So
yes.
And we're not just saying parents here. I'm saying that there's, you know, potentially people who are really close, like your best friends. Like maybe you really are just doing it, just the two of you. Or maybe it is just the two of you and both sets of parents and your siblings and your best, dearest friends in the world. You don't have there. And they always imagine that they would be. So you need to have that talk. And, you know, maybe it's that you celebrate with them your marriage in a different way, like have a dinner party at your house or just invite them to dinner and talk about it and share the pictures. And but I think letting them know in advance would probably be a very good idea, like have the talk so that they know that it's not that you didn't want them there. It's just this was how you chose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they don't see the picture on Instagram and be like, oh, hey, did you know so-and-so got married? Yeah.
How about mm-hmm. that? Yeah.
Thought we were friends.
Uh-huh. Why wasn't I there? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So other negatives that you can think of?
I feel like we touched on a little bit, but I mean, you're just doing the ceremony. So there's no, like, I love to eat. Eating is my hobby. Like, to me.
Gretchen, I love that you just said that.
That would be a negative to me is that I would want to share a meal with, you know, my friends and family. So, you know, that to me is not as exciting. But you know, also going back to dancing, like you're not having a dance, you're not having some of those, you know, you're not doing a bouquet toss or, you know, so if there are some traditions that you really love that you want to incorporate, you're probably better off looking at a different type of small wedding versus an elopement. Mm-hmm. But I do think a pro is, I know we're on cons, but this is, we've kind of touched on this on the pro, but to like really put a pin in it is that like you can make a trip out of your elopement, right? So like you could do a honeymoon and an elopement. Like if you're going to Thailand or something, it's a good excuse to vacation or to take a crazy trip, you know? And so then you're like, well, this is, we got married. So of course we spent like so much money on our wedding, but like that to me is a great excuse to elope, which, so if you love to travel and you know, want to go someplace new together, that could be a really cool reason to elope. Yeah. And it's more economical than having to bring everybody along or making people feel obligated that they have to pay. I know sometimes with destination weddings, mm-hmm. it's hard, like who's paying for what? And like, you've got to make your friends and family who may not have the resources to, you know, stay at this hotel or like take the, you know, so it can get financially that a destination wedding can be a little bit more of a delicate discussion for couples and, you know, who they're inviting because of that. So, but with an elopement, like no big deal. Like it's just the two of you. So that piece doesn't come into play as much.
And to your point earlier, I don't want this to seem like I was discouraging at all when it comes to like having those talks and people are going to be upset in that being inevitable. On the flip side, there are going to be people who are so excited for you that you did it. And I do have this experience because my really good friend, Corinne, who is also a wedding planner, Jet Set Wed, she's been on the show, I think, four times. I don't know. Lost track. She's local, so we can do this quickly and easily. Like, anyway, they eloped to Morocco. And I'll never forget when I found out, I was actually on a plane on my way to Mexico and something came. Oh, my husband called me and he says, Kel, you got something in the mail from Corinne and Jason. And it looks like it's important. I'm like, okay, we'll open it. Because I thought that was odd that they sent something in the mail. And it was their wedding announcement. I'm like, what? What is going on? And instantly, because we're in the same age, I opened up my phone and went on Instagram the second we landed in Mexico. And I noticed there was pictures. Oh, no, I told the story wrong. Step back. Step back. See, this is why I should not do these podcasts late in the afternoon, guys. You'll always know if I'm recording in the morning because I'm totally on top of it, can remember all my words. And when I do, we're recording this at like 5 o'clock in the evening, well, in my time, and I'm messing everything up. Kelly didn't, my husband's name is Kelly, if you didn't know. Kelly did not open that there. It was in Mexico that happened. I was on the plane when I got onto Instagram and saw a picture of them on a plane with another photographer and videographer. And I was like, why are they there with them right now? And I remember turning to another wedding planner who was on the plane with me and saying, they're eloping right now. I'm telling you right now, that is what is going on. And this is a surprise. And this is so exciting. Like, I remember being so excited, even though they never said anything, but there was that picture there. And I was just putting two and two together. And sure enough, when I got to the hotel in Mexico, Kelly calls them and he says, there's the mail. So, and that, yeah, they timed it perfectly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I was so excited for them. Like, this is so them. It made sense that those two would do that. Like, everything about it made sense. So we were very, very excited for them. So like I said, I just don't want everyone to be discouraged and think elopement is bad. Everyone's going to be pissed off at me. That may not be the case. Like, I think the majority of us in their, you know, circle of people were like, oh my gosh, this is so you guys in the first place. And that's another thing that we should bring up, is that this really is genuinely like what seemed to, like, it's just true to them. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they would, like, if anyone was going to do it, it would be those two, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Okay. So two follow-up points. One, the wedding announcement. This is great for small weddings. For people who feel like, oh, my mom really did want us to have more people, but we had a micro wedding. We loved it. You can send a wedding announcement. They're kind of a bygone era, but we can bring them back, right? And that lets all of mom's friends know that you got married and, like, you know, so, like, we can bring the wedding announcement back. And I love that. And Sarah is also on board with this wedding announcement resurgence. Mm-hmm. So,
let me tell everyone who Sarah is. Oh, because I mentioned earlier in the episode, but see, I've already forgotten what we talked about 45 minutes ago.
It's all the Sarah wine you've been drinking.
Sarah Balaki of Belo Norte. She's in a Washington, D.C. area. She also has a micro mini wedding company. And so we, like I said, we talked about guest count size there, but she can attribute to all this as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Okay. So yeah, wedding announcement is really great. And then second thought, sometimes you might actually want to piss off people. That could be a pro for getting for eloping, right? You know, like, if you're like, my mom will be really pissed if I do this, but I like that, then that's a pro then, you know?
Yeah.
It could
100%. 100%. There's just so much stuff that you can, like, be off the hook for. Like, oh, A and B guest list. Like, you never have to worry about that with this kind of thing. Like, no, there's not, like, because you're turning everybody down.
You are turning everyone
you don't
down.
You know, that stress is gone. So much less stress involved. Really, you 95% of planning is, like, out the door. Like, you, like, if you're doing adventure elopement, that's a different story. There's going to be a lot of work involved in that, but it's more about, like, the trip, you know?
Right.
But for genuine, truly, if, like, you're doing an elopement at home, I would imagine there's far less planning involved. You know, you don't even really need to. You can be totally spontaneous with an elopement and still do something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
Anything else?
I don't know. I think we,
you know, we're going to think of 14 other things a second we walk out of these studios.
Of course.
Studios.
You can just add them to those show notes.
No. You guys know when you go to my show notes and there's like five sentences and the introduction to a co-host is longer than everything else. Because I like to talk. I don't like to write so much. Anyway. Gretchen, I'm so glad that you came on here and that you came to me with this topic in particular, because I think it is, just like you said, the stigma is gone from it now. And I think you're right, normalized. Like, this is here to stay and for all the right reasons. I mean, if for all the people reasons that people were doing, like, weddings big that were not good, this is what makes it good. This is what, and I think, again, not again, because I don't even know if we made this point, is that this truly does bring it back to the whole reason. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
it's two people getting married, and that's what it's really about. All the rest of the celebration came after the fact, you know? It's included with it now so much as, you know, it's just, that's the tradition of it now. But really the core and the cusp of why you're getting married. I mean, it's to actually get married.
It's mm-hmm. that, it's to mark
fine-tuned. This
really momentous, like, point in your life. And yeah, I remember our first day of micro weddings, and I like cried through the whole thing because like, it was just so like, the reason is there. Like, it's distilled to that essence. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. it's, you're not worried about like what, you know, asking your wedding party with a crazy gift that they're going to do an unboxing video on Instagram, right? It's about two people coming together to get married, and they want their very favorite people there with them, you know? And like, and that's it. That's the most important piece. And so I love that we can do weddings big or small, and there's nothing wrong with big weddings. Like, I love doing big weddings.
Yeah.
Too. You do too. Yeah. And like, and you can still have some of, you know, small wedding elements and big weddings and big wedding elements and small weddings. But, you know, just being able to pick the type of wedding that is best for you and like what you want out of the day is just so great that people have these opportunities now.
I love this conversation so much, Gretchen. So much. Thank you for being on this. Like, really, really, I really appreciate you and that you were able to dive all in you know, into this. And I was kind of nervous in the beginning going, do I really know enough to be able to like have this conversation with her? Because, you know, that's what this podcast is specifically is about. It's a conversation the whole time. Like, let's debate this and let's, like, you know, chat about it. It's conversation. I was like, I hope I can contribute to this conversation. But again, I don't know how to stop talking ever. So there's... And, you know, when you've got as much experience in weddings as the two of us do collectively, mm-hmm. like it's like, it's just like we started talking so much about, you know, the parties that we can have. It's hard for, to cut us off.
It is really hard to cut us off, especially since we like always love thinking about new and fun ways to do weddings, you know,
yeah.
of any scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get us in the room together. And it's bad news. But we've only kept it to an hour. So that's pretty impressive.
We did a good job.
We should pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll see you in season four. We already decided. Okay, I've already forgotten what the topic was. What was it?
Vow renewals.
Vow renewals. I love vow renewals, though. Love them. Okay.
Okay. See ya.
I'm so glad to be able to share my wedding experiences and expertise with you, and that my co-hosts are so giving of theirs. We truly do want you to have the best time at your wedding, and our hope is that this podcast is helping you to make your engagement time while planning your wedding that much easier. May I ask a favor of you if this is the case? Would you just take a moment to leave a review of this podcast on your listening platform? It helps people just like you to find the podcast and to also find out their answers so they can make decisions. I would also absolutely love for you to give This Versus That podcast a shout out on your social media. You can find us at This Versus That Wedding Podcast on Instagram. And if you would like me to help you with a specific question, a wedding decision, please by all means ask. Send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. And maybe, just maybe even have you as a wedding guest on a future episode. How fun. Here's to another great wedding.